Welcome to the Seeds Uniting Church podcast. For more information and other resources, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday morning service.
Bible reading this morning comes from Matthew 20, verses 20 to 28, a mother's request. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Indeed, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. This church is all about bringing people to Jesus and transforming them into his passionate disciples. And it's our shortcut way of summarizing what we understand comes from the New Testament and how we outwork that into our lives, its implications for us. And so at this point in time, if you've been here for a few weeks, you would know that we've been working on transforming people into passionate disciples. And how this looks and how this enacts in our day and age is really quite a big topic. So to narrow it down, we've picked five, which we think are the essentials, the five big stones that we put in the jar first, and five areas that we think are really important. Some of that's about knowing, some of that is about doing, some of it's cause and effect, that is to say, if you do certain things, you'll see a result. Some of it, actually, what we've been talking about is the state of being, it's the nature of being in Christ, and this is how it should outwork in your life. So far we've covered worship, grow, give, and today it's serve. To make the puzzle fit together a little bit easier, I've come up with this little saying. Here it is. The purpose of a disciple is worship. The goal of a disciple is to grow like Jesus. The response of a disciple is to give. The attitude of a disciple is to serve. And next week we finish with share. So the desire of a disciple is to share. When these things become habits, both in thought and in action, we are more likely to walk into the plan that God has for us and live out of that renewed nature which we have when we follow Jesus. My job as your pastor, one of your pastors, to help you grow into the maturity in Christ. And so I take my calling from that of Paul in Colossians 1:28, when he said, "He, Jesus, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." And so that's your pastor's role, is to present you fully mature in Christ, help you grow in Christ, live into the nature that you have when you were adopted as his child. So our next series, our Lenten series. Lent, of course, is the period before Easter, preparation for Easter. Our next Lenten series is entitled Jesus Unfiltered. So it's a look at various aspects of who Jesus is from the perspective of Matthew's gospel. And I'm working and I'm hoping that we will have some small group studies for small groups to work through and akin with that as well. Today, though, as you know, we're talking about serve. Serving, service, servant, servanthood, all those things are under this banner as we talk about this. And it comes in opposition, direct contrast to pride, self-serving, boasting, self-seeking, self-importance. And as with all the other topics that we've covered so far, the other three, now this to four, these habits are the DNA of a believer. This is what we should be living out of, who we should operate as followers of Jesus. So let me go straight to telling you some theological backgrounds of what I'm talking about. Jesus was a servant. Okay, really clear. If you read the scriptures, you'll understand Jesus was a servant. Way before he came, the prophetic foretelling of him coming has him as this servant. So a classic example comes from Isaiah 53. Theologians call this the suffering servant. Let me read this a little bit out to you from verse 5, Isaiah 53. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Then, of course, this theme rolls through into the New Testament. The classic standout passage of this is echoed in what we heard from the scripture reading, Mark 10:45. It tells us in no uncertain terms about the nature of Jesus. And it's from the lips of Jesus. It says, for even the Son of Man, that's a term to describe Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Straight away, easily, quickly, we can see the nature of Jesus is the nature of a servant. His role, his servant role, was lived out. We see that in his life as he served, in his death, in his resurrection as he continues to serve us. We see it too in the way in which he intercedes for us on a daily basis at the right hand of the Father, continues to serve the church. So one of the standout passages on service in the New Testament comes from what we heard already this morning. If you've got your Bibles, you want to open up to Matthew 20. And it comes between the dialogue between Jesus, the mum of James and John, and of course James and John, and then the rest of the disciples who are somewhat disgruntled. And so follow on. Some of them will be on the screen, but if you've got your text, open it up. Our understanding from this passage could be split up into two parts. Verses 20 to 21, that's the first part. Let me read it out to you. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and kneeling down asked a favor of him. Verse 21, what is it you want, he asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. In other words, Jesus, the mother of the two sons, says, I want my sons to be right up with you when you rule on your earthly kingdom. I want them to be right out there. I want them to be front and center of the ruling power that's going to reign. Now, there's a couple of issues we've got with that. One is in particular that there's a picture of an earthly reign which is not a picture that Jesus brought out. And so they were thinking like this, and Jesus is thinking like this. And so they're thinking that this is going to happen here, and Jesus is actually teaching and telling and saying it's actually going to be on an eternity scale, an all-embracing scale, huge reign of God, not just this little localized thing. And the second issue, of course, is that while these two guys wanted to rule next to Jesus, rule over the whole earth, they got their mum to ask Jesus. I always thought that somewhat ironic, but there you go. Here's the thing, though. The disciples, these two in particular, got the wrong end of the stick. They thought it was about their glory, their power, their status, and they misinterpreted. They didn't hear properly how Jesus had been communicating all the years that he'd been with them. It's all about God's glory. That's what it's about. It's about God's glory. They missed the fact that they are servants of God. And the other disciples, they didn't really help either. When they heard, they were pretty disgruntled, pretty unhappy. And they go, hang on a minute, we should have asked as well. We should have been sitting there too. I mean, I think Peter would be like, well, hey, I should be there. And maybe Judas is like, well, I could buy my way there. You know, I'm there. They all miss it. They all miss the point. They all miss the fact of what Jesus was talking about, the way of the kingdom. And I read that, and I read the Gospels, and I think, my goodness me, we are so like those disciples, aren't we? Boy, we miss it. over and over again the way in which Jesus is communicating, the way in which he's saying, this is the values of the kingdom. And so we get it wrong. Are we caught up in what we can do, what we've been, what we're enabled to do? We form too easily by our culture around us, and we miss that God's glory, God's way is very different. The path to hero status in the kingdom of God is about service. That's what it is. Serving nature. The thing is, we actually love people who serve. We love to be served. We love to know someone who is a servant because we like to be around them because we know they'll look after us and care for us and do it. But for some reason, while we love people who serve, we don't make heroes of those who serve. So we sort of marginalize it. We put down the servant nature of people. We push it aside. Even though we like it, we're sort of paradoxical. Yet we don't lift them up and say, this is what you need to emulate. Classic example. When was the last time you saw someone with a real servant nature on the front of a glossy magazine? When was the last time you saw a glossy magazine? But hey, you know, we see it as demeaning. But Jesus calls his disciples out of that way of thinking, and he paints the picture of what this really looks like. Second part of the passage comes from verse 25. Jesus called them together. So you can imagine, they're split up in all these disgruntled groups, you know. Well, we should have asked. Why did they ask? They got their mum. Well, that was a good idea. We should have got our dad to ask, you know, sort of. And he says to them, you know, that the rulers of the Gentiles, that is, the non-Jews, lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you, verse 26. Instead, here's the paradox of the kingdom. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just, here we go, here's this passage repeated again in Matthew as in Mark. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. But Jesus was speaking into the context where, my goodness me, they knew fully well what it is to be a servant. They had servants. They could see them every day, bond servants that were servants for life, no other reason to be servant. They had slaves where they were sold and bought. They could go to the markets and could see where slaves were sold. But what he's saying is, and he's leaving no doubt about it, here is the topsy-turvy nature of the kingdom. Here is the true way that God wants us to live. Here is what culture tells you how to live, like this. But if you want to walk into the kingdom, this is how it is, this way. Be part of this. The principles of ministry, the economy of God's ways are all about serving. And then Jesus, in this text, he points to his own example. His imminent death on behalf of us all, his service to the world, even though he did nothing to deserve it. He didn't earn this death. He took it on our behalf. He did what we couldn't in order for us to have what we shouldn't. That's the deal. The disciples and all those who have read this incident in the life of Jesus and the nature of Jesus' life, both concerning the prophecies and the reality of who he was, have some thinking to do ever since. It's our turn to think now. We sit with this text. We need to understand what it means in the context of where we're about. To be a follower of Jesus means that we take this servant-like attitude on for ourselves. So, how do we make service a habit for us? Why do we make it a habit for us? Let me give you five things like I did last week. Let me give you five things. Here they are. We serve because it's the example of Jesus. Let me make this really clear. Number one point, we serve because it's the example of Jesus. A servant-like attitude isn't something that the church has made up. Okay? This is not just a good idea that we thought, wow, that would function really well. It's not like pews, you know, or stained glass windows or other sorts of festivals that we have as part of the church life. This is it. It's not even cultural. That's not a cultural thing that we've borrowed and brought in and said, oh, look, we'll use that and we'll adopt that and mix that up like we do with a whole pile of things. It's not an expression of the church to fit a particular time. This is it. This is the way it is. Do you know when we go to heaven, there are a couple of things we're going to do. One is, of course, we're going to worship. Remember I said that a couple of weeks ago. If you don't want to worship, then don't be a Christian because you'll go to heaven and you have to worship all the time, the rest of your life. The second thing, okay, Revelation 22 verse 3, I mean, I might as well say it bluntly, Revelation 22 verse 3, we are serving. That's what we do. Worship and serve when we get to glory, when we face the Lord. We serve as a habit because this is who Jesus is. This is who we are to become. Developing into a mature believer. Finding your feet and growing as a mature believer in Christ means that we will increasingly become servant-like in our attitudes. A mark of a believer is to serve. Second thing, we serve because it is the way God has commissioned us to do ministry. Here we find the nub of God's calling to us. It's the commissioning to serve. Our baptism is an ordination into service. I said that earlier when we commissioned our ministers association. We are baptized to serve. And I wonder, I mean, I love the way we do baptisms here. It's so exciting and so wonderful and so delightful. Some people say publicly, I will commit myself to Jesus. I will die to myself and I will live for Christ. And we gather around and we pray and we celebrate. You know, I actually wonder whether we should bring a bowl of water and a towel to say, well done on your baptism. Well done on saying that you're going to choose Jesus forever. Here's the tools that you're going to use now. You're going to serve the world just like Jesus washed the disciples' feet. We have a question, our service calling in ministry, then, you know, we do well to reflect on our monthly celebration of communion, for it reminds us just again and again and again, you know, that regular understanding that we serve because it's the nature of Jesus. He served us. His servant-hearted work for us is what it's all about. And promotion in the kingdom of God is a way forward to serve. The greatest in the kingdom of God are not the people at the front. Not those who are getting all the kudos, not those getting all the fame, not the book signing deals or the speaking circuit. The greatest in the kingdom of God are people that probably you and I barely know about. Hardly notice. It's the servants. And as someone who is out the front all the time, it's very humbling to know that. We serve, point three, because it's the place where we find meaning. Now, you're probably getting sick of me having a bash at popular culture, but the problem is that's the problem. Over and over again, the message to us is that we are the most important. We are number one. Your needs are above everything else. We're told it's all about us. And even though we know differently, we swallow it over and over again all the time because it's part of the culture imbibing through us. Again and again, though, we have to remind ourselves this is not the reality, that our glory fades, but God's will last forever. And the smartest thing we can do is align ourselves with Him, hand in hand with Him. Hold on to His coattails, takes us into glory. You know, let me be really candid to you this morning. When I reflect and when I think, when I dig back into the real feelings of my past and the deep end of my regrets, you know what I regret the most? I find a common denominator. More often than not, it's about me being focused on myself rather than on those around me. When we serve, even with mixed motives, it pushes us to remember what we are about, and in that we work out of our redeemed nature, the nature of a servant. Participating with the maturing process of God in us brings us to great satisfaction and helps us to appreciate life so much more. When your eyes are not on you, there's so much more to see. Fourth thing, we serve because it's the training ground for what's to come. Here's the simple truth about what God does when He chooses a leader. Prior service and a serving heart is the prerequisite of leadership. Anything other than that is not leadership in God's way. The church always makes a mistake when they put a non-serving leader into a leadership role. Always makes a mistake. I reckon if you were to track back on the history of a great leader, a truly great leader, then you'll find not only the heart of a servant, but a past, present, and future servant. Service is the way into leadership in God's economy. When the church is looking for a leader to fulfill a role, God says, look, here's one I prepared earlier. That's the deal. In service, in the quiet, when no one's looking. Service is the antidote of pride. Service is one of the drivers of the kingdom. Serving is the greatest calling of a disciple of Jesus. The greatest calling. Here's the bottom line. The cost of being a disciple, the truth of the way of Jesus, if you don't want to serve, then don't be a disciple. I might as well just say it straight. Here it is. Give up following Jesus because it is the call he will constantly utter to you. Come and serve. Come and serve. Come and serve. Fifth thing, find a place to serve. So on Facebook over this week, we'll be promoting opportunities to serve here at Seeds. At the first point of call, I encourage everybody in our church to join a welcome team and get involved. And that's a good way into learning the serving culture that we are developing as a church. Some people choose to stay there and serve in their particular ministry, and I strongly encourage that. Others branch out to find other places to serve. Do you know, we're kicking on with Sunday night service. You know, we've got our three interns welcoming at the moment because we've got no other welcome teams. You know, if you're looking for a place to serve, come and serve Sunday night. You know, we've got new people turning up, people we don't met and know before. They're just keeping on turning up. You know, come and serve, come and welcome them. Let us be known as a welcoming church, all parts of our church. Today we circulated a brochure on as many aspects of serving here as we could think of, and I suspect we probably forgot a few. Forgive us if we've forgotten the particular areas. But it's a good example. As a church, we have to serve. We have to emulate the way of Jesus, all of us, as a forward front. We have to serve. And there are many opportunities to serve here. Open your home to a small group. Lead a small group. Serve hospitality to a small group that meets in your home. Serve here in hospitality. You can see our coffee and tea ministry is opening out and expanding. Come and serve in that. It's great joy in that. We need to serve in that. On Monday mornings, under the leadership of Keith Harris, we have started a cleanup, a maintenance and odd jobs team. We need to do this on Monday morning. Once you've had 900 something people through a building, the place looks a bit shabby on Monday mornings. Come and serve. Over the last couple of weeks, as you heard me spruiking already this morning, we're looking for people to help with our building, with our renovation, with our demolition, with our putting things up. Some people have signed up. There's a whole lot of room for a whole lot more people. Come and serve. Come and join in. Do you know community happens when we serve together? Great community happens. When we risk and we struggle together, when we are together, something goes on and the Spirit engenders with what's going with us. And in service, we find great meaning. You know, I reckon the most overlooked ministry in our church is the tea towel ministry. And someone went and got a tea towel for me after the first service and put it on my shoulder and I wore it proudly. It's the ministry of the broom. It's the ministry of the dirty jobs. And for all the reasons I've spent the last 20 minutes talking about, I encourage you to find a place to serve here. Make serving your habit here, but also where you live. Exclude service. Like, let it come out of your pores. Like, wherever you study, where you work, where you reside in your community organizations, your community groups, serve. Just be known as a server. Don't do it for others, but do it for Jesus. You know, to be used by someone is the worst thing, but to be used by Jesus is the best thing. Serve. Do it because you bear his name and you seek to be close to him. Serve because it's the nature of being his child, and serve out of your redeemed status. You know, what if? What if the church served out of its life in such a way others could not help but see it? What if Christians were so different in our service that society became rubberneck tourists when looking at us to see the work of the congregation? What if that happened? What if Christians served in such a way that children and adults pointed their fingers and say, "Hey, look at that"? What if we so lived a life of service that we seemed out of place in the world around us? We were so countercultural. What if we were truly transformed into serving people of God? Wouldn't it be fun, exciting, and wonderful if people were lining the sidewalks around our church just to see what makes us so odd because we serve? How good would that be? Let me pray.